The title is An Application of Mumford Gap Principle as Introduced. And on Monday and Tuesday, Alina and Wentong introduced some basics about elliptic curves. And now, today, I want to talk about the boundedness of rank of elliptic curves in a family of quadratic twists. And now let's fix some notation. E is an elliptic curve given as y squared equals f cubed plus ax plus b with integral coefficients. And its twist, ed, is dy squared equals f cubed plus ax plus b, as most people know already. So this is its quadratic twist. And Moore-de-Weil theorem says that the elliptic curve of a number field has a group structure as a finitely generated abelian group. And its rank, so of a number field, we have torsion part and some torsion free part. And this number r, non-negative integer r, which is rank, has been the study of numerous papers. And there are many conjectures related to this rank r, but not so much is known at present. And especially one of the conjectures is Honda's conjecture. Okay. Conjecture, which is, this is 1960. It says that rank of elliptic curves in quadratic twists is bounded by some constant C, where C is independent of D. This is a rather amazing conjecture. And up to now, there is no evidence that it's true or false. But there are some results related to this conjecture. First of all, we have a result of Shaparovich and Tate. Which says that the analog of this conjecture is false. Is false over a function field k of t, where k is a finite field. So this is 1967. And now let me give you a reason. But there's some reason that we can, there's some reason that Honda's conjecture makes some sense. So now let me give you the reason. So we have some analogies. There's some analogies between unit groups and Moore-de-Weil groups. Unit group of number fields and Moore-de-Weil group of elliptic curves. So unit group corresponds to Moore-de-Weil group, and Dirichlet's unit theorem states the structure of unit group. So it says that unit group of a number field has a structure of finitely generated abelian group. And in this part, we have Moore-de-Weil theorem, which says that exactly the same thing. Moore-de-Weil group has a structure of finitely generated abelian group. And actually, the analogies between these two is deeper than this. For example, we have analytic class number formula here. And corresponding formula here is Gross-Jagiel formula. So analytic class number formula says some relations between cyclotomic units, and Gross-Jagiel formula says relations between Higner. This involves some height of Higner points. So if you consider this kind of analogies, we can think about what Dirichlet's unit theorem says about the rank of unit group. So what it says is that the rank here is bounded by, this is the rank of unit group is determined by the extension degree of the number field. So that is the number of real embedding plus number of complex embeddings. So what it says, then what is the analogous theorem, analogous result in this part? We can think about that as original Hondov conjecture. So original Hondov conjecture was this. He made a rank of elliptic curves of a number field is bounded by some constant, which depends on our original elliptic curve E, and times the extension of where this k is, small k is the field where the original function E is defined. And what it says is that rank is bounded just by this extended degree. So this is exactly original Hondov theorem is Hondov conjecture. This is conjecture. Original was exactly, we can think it as an exact analog of the statement about the rank of unit group. And this implies this weaker conjecture of Honda on quadratic twist. So now we think about our topic is rank on quadratic twist. And recently, there's a result of Rubin and Silverberg, and they derived an equivalent formulation of Honda's conjecture in terms of a convergence of a certain infinite series. So to state their theorem, we need to fix some notations first. And so now some notations and definitions. So we denote by SFN, this is square-free part of an integer n. So if n is a natural number, then this is, okay, natural number. We have a product of prime factorization as a product of, it's prime factors. So in this case, SFN is defined as a product of nu p and odd p. And if n is negative integer, then we define SFN is minus SF minus n. And then we have elliptic curve here. If we write down this as, okay, g of x, let's say this is g of x for elliptic curve, then we denote as gu comma v, capital G, is denoted as v to the fourth g u over v, which is v times u cubed plus a u v squared plus b v cubed. So this is this capital G is just a small g which has no denominator and which has same square free part. This capital G and small g has same square free part if you define in this way. And we define one more, that's the series, which is, and Rubin and Silverberg's theorem will be stated in terms of this series. This is defined as a summation u comma v, u and v are relatively prime, and g u comma b is non-zero, and this is 1 over square free part of capital G u comma b after value to the k times h u over b to the g. Okay, I forgot to define this. What is this height? So this is basically naive height. So this height is u comma b is max 1 log u log b. So this is defined in this way. Then now we can state the result of, oh yeah, U over V. Thank you. Now we can state the theorem of Rubin and Silberbach. This is 2000. They say if J is a positive real number, so J is real number, then the followings are equivalent. The first thing is rank is bounded in families of quadratic twists. 2 times J for all D, which is a non-zero integer, and this is equivalent to the series S of G is JK defined here converges for a sum K at least 1. And this is also equivalent to this series converges for all K at least 1. So these three statements are equivalent. That's what they prove. But this is for elliptic curve case. So we have that E is an elliptic curve given by y squared equals g of x. So in that case, we have this kind of theorem. But we do not know this kind of exactly the same theorem holds in the hyper-elliptic curve case or not. Anyway, this theorem suggests the study of the cognate series in the hyper-elliptic curve case. So we define in exactly the same way in the hyper-elliptic curve case. So we define, okay, I wrote down here, shall we? So we define height here like this, and this is for hyper-elliptic curve case. So this theorem and previous definition is about elliptic curve, and now we define in exactly the same way in the hyper-elliptic curve case. So the definition is exactly the same, and the definition of this series is exactly the same here, but we have a little bit modification of the definition of capital F, which is V to the R F U over V if V is even, and if R is even, so V to the R F U V if R is even, and V to the I plus 1 F U over V if R is odd. So this is, again, the reasoning is that if this is, so the power also even, so it has, capital F and small f has same square root part, and we have no denominators. That's, which one? Oh, small f. Yes. In the hyper-elliptic curve case, so so now this is hyper-elliptic curve. This is, F is given as y squared is F of x, where F is degree of F is at least 5 and has distinct roots. Yes, degree R, yeah, degree R, oh, right. Degree R is, yes, here R is our degree, so that we can remove all the denominators where it appears. So we define in this way. And if we write down in this way, we can, by collecting all those terms whose square root part of capital F becomes M, we collect all those terms, and the remaining terms we have, we can collect in this way. So this is the series. The next line, this is the series we are studying. And first of all, we will study this inner sum first, using some theorems. And that's, and actually, the remark is, actually, Rubin and Silverberg, in their paper in 2000, they mentioned that Caporasso, Harris, and Major conjecture in the case where genus is at least 2. So if the degree of this polynomial F is at least 5, then the genus, this guarantees that the genus of the this curve is at least 2. So in that case, Caporasso, Harris, and Major conjecture implies the convergence of S, SF, JK, for K is at least 2. So what we are trying to do here is prove. So now what we are trying to do is this theorem. This is our main theorem. I write down theorem 2. Like, our main theorem is this. If degree of the polynomial F is at least 5, then SF, JK converges for every K at least 2 and any positive real number. So this is our main theorem. This is what you want to prove. And actually, theorem 2 can be obtained by assuming Caporasso, Harris, and Major conjecture. But what you want to prove is, our goal is prove this theorem unconditionally. So that means without assuming this conjecture. And actually, there are 3 ways of proving this thing. So one is Mumford's theorem and Fortin's theorem. If we use Mumford's gap principle and Fortin's theorem, we can prove theorem 2. And second proof is if we use Mumford's gap principle and Voitov's theorem on effective versions of Mulder's conjecture, if you use that, then we can prove. Also, we can also prove theorem 2. But what you want to do is prove this theorem using Mumford's gap principle alone. That's the most elementary method. That's what we did in this paper. So for that, let me explain what is Mumford's gap principle first. No, it's not known. It's unknown.
So you cannot conclude about quantum.
So right, we cannot conclude that.
The hyperelliptic curve you will be putting on the right of the Jacobian curve. I mean, that's the prime example of certain points,
the hyperelliptic curve. Yes, for hyperelliptic curves, there are, that's Fortin's theorem, right?
Yes.
So now let me explain Mumford's gap principle, section 2. So if K is a number field, C over K is a curve of genus at least 2, and J over K is a Jacobian of C. And we can fix that embedding, like, into the Jacobian of the form, like this. As usual, this is P minus. Okay, let's fix P sub 0 for a fixed point. For a fixed base point, P sub 0 in C K bar. And we assume that P sub 0 is chosen in such a way that P sub 0 is chosen and chosen so that the theta divider E C J minus 1 is a symmetric divider. On J, on the Jacobian, and H hat is the canonical height with respect to this theta divisor. So this is our notation. Then now we have some more thing for general, some more general thing. We can define inner product between 2 points of the Jacobian, like 1/2 height P plus Q minus H hat P minus H hat Q. This is most general stuff. And then we can also, if we have inner product, as usual we have, we can also define its norm of the point on the Jacobian as the square root of the inner product. And if you define in this way also, then what it has is, this is the same as height. So we have this kind of properties. And we have, now let me state the Monfort's inequality or Monfort's gap principle. So we have a theorem, lemma 4, okay, lemma 4, I just give numbers not to be confused. Sorry, this is what I supposed to be, sorry, Monfort's inequality. So with given these kind of notations, what we have is for any two distinct points, P and Q in the Jacobian, C-keeper, we have P, Q is less or equal to P squared plus Q squared divided by 2 times G plus gamma sub 2. There exists gamma 2, which is a constant which depends on only C. Gamma sub 2. C. So this is Monfort's inequality. For any two distinct points, P and Q, there exists a constant gamma sub 2 which depends on only on the curve C, such that we have this inequality. And from this Mumford inequality, what Mumford proved is actually the distribution of points. If you consider height of a point, the distribution is exponential. That's what Mumford proved. And especially what he proved is x, m plus n, there exists, okay, let me write down more precisely. This is what Mumford showed from this inequality. If x of n is a sequence of distinct points, in CK bar lying in some finally generated subgroup of the JK bar and ordered by increasing height, then there exists number n, then exists n such that x n plus n is like this. So, and where a is l, also moreover a is bigger than 1. This is what Mumford proved. But Mumford's proof is not sufficient for our application in this problem. So what you have to do is to figure out what is the explicit number which appears here, n, so capital N. So he says there exists n, and for our application, we need to fix some explicit number n. That's what we are trying to do. And for that, Silverman's, there's a lemma of Silverman which is useful for our purpose. So that's what I'm trying to write down here. And there's a lemma of Silverman, which is some effective version of Mumford gap principle. Let's fix an angle theta sub 0 between 0 and pi over 2. And we choose some distinct points, z sub 1, z sub 2, and z sub capital N in d-dimensional vector, real vector space. And then, if capital N is bigger than d minus 1 times pi divided by 2 times sine to the d minus 1 theta sub 0 divided by 2, then there exists distinct indices I and j, which is such that zi, zj is bigger than zi, z sub j cosine theta sub 0. So just what it says is that if you fix an angle, and then if you choose enough many points like that, then there are two distinct indices which satisfies this inequality. This is Silverman's theorem. And this gives hints on the explicit number of capital N. Which one? Yes, that's vector space, three-dimensional real vector space. So from here, what he deduced is this. So from here, what he can deduce is lemma 5. This is Silverman. And we change Silverman's lemma in the form we want. So lemma 5 is, let C be a curve of the genus at least 2 defined over a number field K. And as before, we defined this embedding, and H hat is the canonical height relative to theta divisor as before. Then what it has is, then there exists gamma, there exists gamma sub 2. So same gamma sub 2, like Mumford's inequality, same gamma sub 2. There exists gamma sub 2, depending only on C as before. And after the constant, which is bigger than 1, such that if and xn is a sequence of points, of CL, where L is an extension, so L is any extension of K. So L over K is an extension. We have for if the norm of X sub n is at least 2 times square root gamma sub 2, we have X n plus n is at least 8 times X sub n. So the difference here is that Mumford's inequality says that what Mumford proved is, well, not clear what is n, and what we have here is if the height is big, if the height, or this is square root of height. So if height or norm is big enough, then what we have, we can have this kind of exponential growth on the points, on the height of the points on the curve. Oh, yes. So what is, in this case, what is capital N? So we can choose capital N from the lemma 4, Silverman version of Mumford's gap principle. That's, so we can choose N here as Gauss of B minus 1 pi divided by 2 times psi d minus 1 theta sub 0 over 2 plus 1. So this number comes from Silverman's estimation. Yeah. So we can have d is the rank of Jacobian, where d is the rank of Jacobian of a field L. And is there something else I missed? So what we have here is, now from here we can have estimate of the capital N, which is this capital N is approximately d times, so d times c sub 1 to the d. And here c sub 1 is, we can choose c sub 1 is 1 over sine theta sub 0 over 2. So this constant C sub 1 depends only on theta sub 0. So we have this kind of estimation from Silverman's estimation. Oops. I think. Now we apply this estimation in the case of height elliptic curve, and to get the result what you want. And so we have a curve, C equals y squared f of x, where degree of, where r is a degree of f, is at least 5, and with distinct roots. So what you're interested in is the twisted curve, because we are considering quadratic twists. So my squared equals f of x. And the points on C sub m can be viewed as points on quadratic twist. So this is defined over Q. And the points of C sub m can be viewed as, because it is included in the points of C Q square root m, which is, let's say this is C of L, so this is L. So, and Mordell Weil theorem says that J sub m is, from the Mordell Weil theorem, what we have is this, this also has a structure of finitely generated abelian group. And now let's state proposition 6. So now our proposition is this. Proposition 6. Let f of x with integral coefficients be a polynomial of degree at least 5. And fu, comma v is defined as before, fu over v, and v r plus 1, fu over v. So r even, r odd. Then we have an estimation, following estimation, that there exists the gamma sub 3 depending only on f. Such that for m sufficiently large, there exists a gamma sub 3 such that m is sufficiently large, then we have the estimation that u, comma v equal 1, 0, f u, comma v equals m y squared. 1 over h u over v to the j is bounded by, there exists some constant c such that this is bounded by 1 plus rank of jm cube. Here, this constant c, this constant, we can choose this constant small c as 2 times c sub 1, where c sub 1 is given. Here. So this is our estimation. And where this sum come from, that's probably many people already forgot where that series come from. And actually this estimation come from here. So what you want to do is to estimate this inner sum, and that's proposition 6 says about the estimation of this inner sum of this series S sub F. So this is our estimation, and okay. I think we have time to prove it. The proof is this. We have the curve f u comma v is m y squared. So if you have this curve, So this is the curve we are considering. So f u comma v is m y squared. So if we have a point here, then the point u comma v and y, which satisfies this equation, gives us a point. Gives us a point p equals u over v plus minus square root m y divided by v r plus v to the r over 2 if r even and p equals u over v plus minus square root m y v r plus 1 over 2 if r odd. And these are points, and these are points of the curve C, points of CL. And we order, now we have a sequence X of N in the order of this. Actually, this is a kind of a set, so we can give order to the points, to the points of CL in the increasing height. Then we can use, we can apply Mumford's gap principle. So we have this sequence in the order of increasing height. And then, now we denote, this is a notation, hx p is the height, height on height h u over v, where as defined as before, this is basically naive height, where u over v is x coordinate of the point P. So if we define in this way, we have a theorem like HSP. So for all epsilon, we have this kind of theorem, which says 2 over G, 1 minus epsilon, H hat P plus O epsilon of 1. So this constant depends only on epsilon and f. So I'd like to thank Professor Carney for pointing out this theorem. And actually, this is, if we put like this, then our series, so we what we want is estimation of this series. So this is our result. This is what we want to prove. And from here, okay. So this is what you want to prove. This is what you want to prove. And we have this kind of theorem. So what we have is this. This theorem suggests. So what you have basically here, what you have here is this, and so the estimation of this series u over v to the j is approximately the estimation of the series h hat xn to the j. So we have some conditions here that u comma v is u and v are relatively prime, and fub is non-zero. This is my squared. And here we have xn is non-torsion point. C q root n minus c. Okay, I write down l here. X of n is cl minus cl portion. So this is what this theorem suggests is the estimation of this, if it's fixed epsilon, if it is just a fixed positive number epsilon, then this constant depends only on F, and the estimation of this is basically estimation of this. And here we have, if y is not zero, there is a theorem which says that for n sufficiently large, the torsion point, basically, the torsion point is comes from where y equals zero. There is a theorem like that. So this condition corresponds to this condition here. And so the estimation of this is approximately the estimation of this height. So we can switch from this height to the canonical height. So now let's apply Mumford gap principle. We did it before. Then what we have is, we have actually the reason we have to switch from this usual naive height to canonical height is that the Mumford gap principle in the exponential growth is stated in terms of canonical height. So now we apply the theorem. So we have this this x n squared, which is, if you apply Mumford gap principle twice, then what we have are q times. Okay, we apply the theorem on red. So now what we do is partition the sum into red classes. Modulo n. And where n is as given previously. So and it's given like this. So we partition this sum into red two classes, into n red two classes. Then what we have is n can be written as q times n plus the remainder t. So now we apply here for general index n, index small n, we apply Mumford gap principle twice. Then what we have is a times 2 to the q, a to the 2q, and x, okay, h hat xn is norm of xn squared. This is, if you apply Mumford gap principle here twice, q times, then what you have is this squared. And from this equation, what you have is a to the 2q is 2 times m minus t divided by n, and x of t squared. So that's what we have. And basically, so this is the, so we can sum. And what we have here is that a is bigger than 1. So whole this number becomes bigger than 1. So this becomes bigger than, so so let's say this is b times x to the t squared, and b is bigger than 1. And each red class, then if we divide, partition the sum in this way, each red class has a contribution less or equal to x of t minus 2 to the j, where j comes from here, this j. So is it okay or is it fine? Okay, 2 to the j. And from the exponential growth, what we have is each norm has, we can assume that without loss of generality, we can assume that each norm is at least, so we can assume is at least 1. We can assume without loss of generality. we can assume that x of t is bigger than 1 because the growth of the height is exponential, and we can throw away finite number of first finite terms, so we can assume with in this way. Then our estimation is there are n such residue classes. Because there are n such residue classes, our estimation is okay. Okay. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. And summation of a residue, some residue class. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you sum over residue, each residue classes, each the contribution of each residue class is this much, and we have capital N residue classes. So what we have is summation each residue class. And this is the contribution of this thing is at most 1. So this is basically all. We can bound this as O of n. So this is our this is the estimation of this thing. So that's the estimation of this thing. Summation 1 over h hat x of n. So xn is cl minus CL quotient. So this is the estimation, and now what we have here is previously our estimation of N was B, C sub 1, B, where D is the rank of Jacobian, and C sub 1 was C sub 1 was a constant which depends only on theta sub 0. So now we have this kind of thing, and if you put this is bounded by C to the D, where C is 2 times C sub 1. So this is our estimation of this number. So what we have here is, but to care about the case when B equals 0, where the rank of Jacobian vanishes, we just estimate, our estimation will become C to the 1 plus D. So this is the theorem what he wanted to prove, proposition. This is exactly what he wanted to prove. This is a long proof, but this is exactly the estimation we wanted to prove. And next, now, how we can estimate? So what you want to estimate is this. So what you have to do is, from this proposition 6, what you have to do is to estimate this whole series. So that's what you want to do. Uh-huh. And in estimating this, so in we have proposition 6 says we have estimation of inner sum as summation u comma v equal 1, 0 f u v equal m y squared. The estimation of this inner sum was c to the 1 plus rank of say n q. So now here, now our estimation of JK is basically this will be the convergence or divergence of this series will depend on the series, related series like this. Summation m equal 1 to infinity 1 over m to the k and summation, okay. Here, the instead of this estimation, we just replace this 1 over h over z. So instead of this, we just replace this. Then what we have here is 1 plus rank of jn q. So this is what you want to conclude. But to conclude, before we conclude this one, we have to mention something because our estimation in proportion 6 applies only when height or n is big enough. So in that case, if we can apply the remark here is that we can apply proportion 6 only when height is big enough, sufficiently large. So if only if height, when height is sufficiently large, we can apply Mumford's gap principle, so we can get this kind of estimation. But now what it can do if the height is not, if now what it can do if height is not, if height is small. So that's to cover the case when height is small, we use Northcote's theorem. So here we have theorem of Northcote. What it says is, let K be a number field, and V over K is a projective variety. And H is absolute logarithmic height. Relative to an ampli divisor on V. Then, for all V and H, the set P in this variety such that KP, the expansion degree is exactly bounded by D, and height of the point is bounded by H is finite. So we can apply this result only when height is sufficiently large, but in the case height is not so big, we can use Northcote's theorem, which says that so the number of such points is only finite. So the sum of such points is also finite. And in this case, we are considering quadratic extensions, so D is 2. So this is almost what it needed. So now what remains is to get the estimation from this one. So we have an estimation of the rank in terms of number of prime divisors of n. So we have this kind of rank of jm q is bounded by nu m. This denotes number of prime divisors of m plus 1. So this kind of estimation can be found for example, in Honda's paper, isogenies, rational points, or section and section points on group varieties, in his 1960 paper or Silberman's paper. So we have this kind of estimation, and we have another, together, we have another estimation that C to the new n is bounded by n to the epsilon. So this is the estimation for this one. So together with that estimation and these facts, what we have is eventually is S FJK is bounded by, so this is, okay, so this is summation m equal 1 to infinity 1 over m to the k. So this is m to the epsilon, which is phi. This series converges for k at least 2. So this is what it proves. And so this is the proof.